We'll see that Paul starts this section with the words, "We know." Then he goes on to mention words that are a real puzzle and a real problem and a real challenge in many ways for us to understand. He uses words like foreknew and predestined and conformed and justified and glorified. Now, I'm going to suggest this morning that you don't get too troubled about those words. Paul is able to say, "We know," and he's speaking here not just from a head knowledge, he's talking about his experience. This is something that he has seen in his own life. And so when he says, "We know," he's saying it with an assurance. And this whole section just leaps out with a glorious word that's positive and hopeful. "We know," says Paul. And the way he writes it is really confirming that this is something that is deep within not only his thoughts, but within his heart. "We know." And so if this morning when you come across those other difficult words, you might feel, "Well, I don't know what foreknew means or predestined means or conformed means or justified means or glorified means." Let's start with this assurance that for Paul, at least, he could say, "We know." And then he goes on, because he's not talking about knowing at a time when everything is easy and comfortable. He's not talking about a time in his life where he's able to take it easy. He's not talking about things being really positive. And yet he's still able to say that in all things, God works for the good. Now, there's still a big challenge going on where people are looking for the theory of everything. If you follow any of the scientific theories and writings, you'll find that their ultimate goal, what they're seeking in mathematics and physics and all the laws of chemistry and gravity and all the way in which the cosmology is understood, all of those sort of vast areas of knowledge, they're looking for the one simple statement that is what they call the theory of everything. Something that you can just put together in just a very short saying that will sum up the whole of human knowledge and history. Well, if you ever read books then about the theory of science and the theory of knowledge, and particularly if you look at the theory of everything, could I suggest that here is the answer, that in all things God works. Now, that doesn't mean that only in all the things that are good, not just in all the things that we enjoy, not all the things that are pleasant, not all the things that we agree with. But Paul is saying in all things, in anything and everything, God works. And he's going on in a moment. Those big words that we mention are words that don't need to trouble us particularly, because they're words that Paul is using to show how God works. And you'll see here in that first verse we were looking at, it relates to those who love God. It relates to those who have been called according to his purpose. So God has a purpose. God is working out that purpose. And therefore, everything that happens in God's world is happening towards that ultimate purpose. So not just the good things, but all those things that have ever happened to you, all those things that are happening to you at this very moment, every situation that you've been in or that you are in, every circumstance that surrounded your life, everything that you understand and all those things that you don't understand, all those things that you can explain and all those things that you can't explain, every action, every thought, every word, Paul is saying all things work together. And that word, things, Paul hasn't used it so far in this letter to the Romans, but just in these next few verses, he's going to use it three times over. He uses it here of all things where God is working for good. Then if you look at verse 32, he uses it again, where God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And because of that, he will also graciously give us all things. And then, as in a few weeks' time, we reach towards the final part of this chapter, when we're thinking of what it means for us to be more than conquerors. So in verse 37, you see that he uses this word again. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, if you can't think about the names of everyone and all the things that are around us, we've got this very useful word, things, things. We get quite a few thingamabobs in our house, where we're trying just to kind of think of this and that, or whatchamacallit, and the things. And if you want another study in God's word, look at the way in which the Bible uses that thought of things. There is nothing that you can do for your salvation. Yet there is one thing necessary for that rich young ruler. there are some things that you'll read about in Scripture. But here we have all things. And it was a very common and very popular word in its day, because it summed up a lot of the thinking of people in Rome who were, even at that time, trying to grapple with the greatness of the universe around them. And they ran out of words for it all and really were left trying to imagine all things, everything, anything and everything. So Paul's very clear and very emphatic that this is something that he knows for sure and certain in his life and experience. He's knowing in this way that encompasses all things, everything around him. And then he's certain too that it is God who works. And it's God who works for the good of those who love him. So let's just see then how Paul explains the way that God is at work. God has a purpose. It's according to God's will and God's purpose. And then Paul seeks to explain that. He knows at one level it will always be beyond our ability to understand the way in which God works. And yet God has made himself known in many ways. God does demonstrate the way in which he is involved in his world. But he starts by saying that God foreknew. God knew beforehand, and this is something that Paul grew up with in his Jewish faith. They were aware of God's knowledge of his world. He was the God who created the world. He was a God who was in charge of events and of history, and the only way they could understand that and experience that was to know that God knew in advance, and he's the God of the beginning and of the ending. And the word he uses is the one that is sometimes used if you go to the doctor. You start off with the doctor making a diagnosis. He's looking to see what the trouble is. And of course, God knows very well what our problem is. And Paul has said it very clearly throughout this book of Romans. It's the sinfulness of our nature. But not only is there a diagnosis, but the medical profession then try to make a prognosis. That is, they look at what might happen as a result of the diagnosis. What will be the effect in the longer term? They try to anticipate then the outcome of the diagnosis. They can't always do it. They may often get it wrong, but nevertheless, they have an attempt to know what is likely to happen in those circumstances. So this is the word that Paul is using, that God has this prognosis, and it's certain, it's clear, it's definite. He knows in advance. And that's the only way that we can have any certainty about events in the world, that God is knowing before that God is not surprised, that he predestined, and we can at least understand that word about destined being destination. God has a direction, God has a purpose, God has the power to direct events and implement things in a way that means that Paul can say God works for the good. Paul knew well that God called. He knew back from the time of Abraham. He knew in the burning bush for Moses. He knew for Samuel in the temple. He knew in his own experience that moment on the Damascus Road where Jesus calls his name. He knows that this is a God who works by calling, that it's God's voice, it's God's word that comes out into our situation that works for good. And Paul's great pain in his heart and in his life was the fact that sin was so deeply rooted there. And so he comes to understand that it's God who makes him right with God. No condemnation. He's justified. And then even over and above and beyond that, since all of this is happening in order to conform us, to make us like the Lord Jesus, so he's seen the Lord Jesus back there in the glory, and so he's able to see the way in which God is going to work things together for his purpose to bring us too into that glory. There are those five actions that Paul sees God taking in order to work for the good of those who love him. So don't be troubled about those words. Just appreciate that they're telling us something about the way our God works in his world. And that purpose is that we might be conformed to the likeness of his Son. He wants us to take on the likeness of Jesus. This working together for good that Paul is talking about is the idea of things interacting with each other. It's the idea that things are coming together and cooperating together to produce something that is over and above anything that we could achieve ourselves. So that when God is working to conform us to the Lord Jesus, that work is something that's happening where God is coming to us and in us and through us, so that we might be made something far more than we could ever have been on our own. And that word conformed, having the same form, being changed step by step from one thing into another, being changed from our sinful nature into our spiritual nature, being changed from our earthly fleshly beings into the very body of Christ. And then just to finally illustrate that, we're mindful of the way it worked out for Joseph as he was able to say that his brothers intended him harm, and yet God worked it for good in his life. We see it in the life of Jesus, the way in which in doing God's will, he went through awful rejection. He was despised and rejected. He was beaten. He was crucified. So we're not talking just about armchair theology. We're thinking about people who have been through really tough and difficult times, and yet in and through that, able to say in all things, God works things together. Paul was clear that in all his suffering, in all the difficulties that he faced as a Christian, God was working his purpose. And so it is today in those parts of the world where people would be without hope and without any encouragement. Yet this word comes to them as a word from the Lord that blesses them and enriches them, and means that they too, with Paul, can say, we know that in all things God works together for good according to his purpose for those who love him. So let's express that love in our closing hymn as we give thanks.